We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour. Let's go back to the guest line. It's our buddy Don Munson. You can follow him on Twitter at WDonaldMunson. And Don, what would you place the odds on July 11th? One less than a week before Clemson makes an appearance at ACC football kickoff, my first question is going to be, have you stopped and also realized you're the voice of the world champion of the University Games, Team USA, Clemson basketball? I mean, here we are. I'm going to ask you a basketball question to begin this interview. Very surprising run.
And it was a surprising run, but just thrilled for Brad Brownell, the players, and the staff. I mean, it was awesome, and then hopefully this will be something that they can really jumpstart them into the 19 and 20 season. So certainly something good needed to happen to Brad Brownell. He had a tough spring going through. He lost two of his best players to ACL injuries, and to see this team be able to rally the way that they did and win a gold medal in a USA uniform with a little tiger paw just down on the. Down on the shorts was just absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and the thing is, now all of a sudden, the positives. I'm going to be honest with you, Don. Once the two knee injuries took place, and you didn't know, and they just had announced Tevin Mack was transferring in, the former Columbia prep star in from Alabama. I didn't know what to expect, and I'm like, nothing good comes out of this with these injuries. It may go over there and kill. It turned out to be the opposite. Now they got all this extra practice time. They're way ahead of the game when it comes to that first day of practice in, the beginning of October. There's a lot of positive momentum. And number two, if Clemson fans say, well, show me something, guess what? You just got shown something.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and those were some pretty good basketball teams over there. That was a young Clemson basketball team playing against much older guys. And some of these teams, they were just flat out men. When you're playing against teams that are, whose average age is around 20, 22, 23, 24, and you're playing over there with a relatively young team and a team that hadn't been together all that much. But I think you can see as game in and game out throughout the entire thing, they kept getting better and better. And, defensively, they grew up a lot during the tournament. And then offensively, they were just amazing. Amir Sims, I think he ended up averaging a double-double in all six games. So just tremendous for Clemson basketball.
All right, as we continue with the voice of the Tigers, Don Munson. And again, Wednesday, it is Atlantic Division Day at ACC football kickoff. And listen, Tim Brando just put out his expectations for the football season. Clemson 1, Bama 2, Michigan 3, Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5. You expect any different message from Dabo Swinney next week or how the approach is toward Clemson? Because, it's always, could Clemson catch Alabama? And now after witnessing, Monday night, January 7th, I don't think there's any doubt if Clemson can catch Alabama.
Well, but, all that was – I already know what the answer for that
was last year.
All that was last year.
Yep.
He didn't care about, yes, he cares about it. That's not – but – he doesn't care about it going into this year because none of it means anything. He has a favorite phrase with his players. Last year's touchdowns don't win you this year's games. So you've got to go out and prove yourself all over again. And he'll make that point to them, and he'll have them ready to go. And are they going to be pretty good? Yeah, they're going to be pretty good. Everybody I think right now is looking at, well, this is a team that's going to go 12-0. Well, that's a whole lot easier said than it is done. So we'll find out. But and again, the other favorite phrase from William Christopher Sweeney is we're going to get what we earn, and that's exactly what they're going to get if they can earn a trip back to the playoffs and earn a trip back to the national championship, then we'll take it. But they're absolutely going to get what they earn here in 2019.
Don, what do you think the dumbest question Dabo is going to get at media day is going to be?
I don't know. I mean, I really have no idea, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's it's funny because there's always that one or two question that just kind of comes out of the blue from somebody, and yet he seems to be prepared for it and has an answer for it. You know, last year I can remember a guy asked him about his faith, and that was the question that came out of Media Days there in Charlotte that made the most splash for Clemson. And it was kind of there's one completely out of left field, and yet Coach Sweeney took it, ran with it, and it was the one I think that probably got the most notice and certainly the most play.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because I could almost see Dabo being a more charming Mike Leach. You know, Mike Leach is kind of a prickly guy, but he's funny, he's offbeat, he's irreverent. But Dabo could, you know, I could see him providing similar types of answers, but much more charming.
Well, he's not going to talk down to anybody. That's not who Coach Sweeney is. He respects everybody. You know, and he realizes, hey, these guys are out there trying to do their job, that kind of stuff. And he'll get a little bit of a trial run at it because on the 16th they have the Clemson media day that'll happen at Clemson. So that'll be before they go up to Charlotte on the 17th. So he'll have a run of all that for a day. So he'll get a little test run before he has to show up to Charlotte.
So at what point are you opening up a side business during the summer to rent Dabo Sweeney out to programs in Major League Baseball or the NBA that need a win? Because has anybody, I mean, to be the first team and, you know, the ESPYs, whoever won it last night, that's besides the point. But to be on the run that he's been on, and you as well, because we gave you the other zero in the ACC when it comes to hot seat in 2019, which means untouchable with four consecutive calls of the college football playoff. But, you know, to me, it's just fascinating. He's the ultimate chameleon in the fact that he can take any answer, he can give any answer, and he can do it with a smile on his face and convince you that's his ultimate conviction. So, number one, he's been fortunate. Number two is being able to let the players police the program themselves, allow him to go out there and have a lot more fun during the summer?
Well, it wasn't always that way. You know, that's part of building the culture
that's
of your
right.
program. Is that, believe me, it wasn't always that way. So, but now, you know, the older guys kind of do run things when certainly he's not in town or the coaching staff can't be around them. And so the old guys kind of train up the young pups. And so the young pups learn from the older guys. And this is still a really young football team. There's close to 70 guys on this team when we step on the field for the first time on August the 29th. There'll be about 70 freshmen, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, redshirt sophomores. So that's a ton of the team. So, you know, this team compared to what we've had, particularly last year and maybe even a little bit the year before, there's nowhere near that veteran leadership that is there. So this team is going to have to find some of those guys that are going to step up and lead.
All right, final thing. I know you don't vote as the voice of Clemson, I'm sure, but to me, when I see that media poll come out next week, I'm really fascinated to see. I'm going to assume, and you know what assume does, Don, Clemson will be number one in the Atlantic Division. I'm really fascinated to see who's going to come up in that number two spot, because you can make a case for Syracuse. You can make a case for Wake Forest. You can make a case for NC State. And, of course, what is Florida State? I think we'll have a better idea of it this year as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the pecking order goes. I'm probably like you. I'm probably, when I vote and write down things, I'll probably end up writing down Syracuse as number two. You know, you can't look back on what Dino Babers did last year, you know, posting 10 wins. And he's got some experience at quarterback. He lost some experience, obviously, at wide receiver, but that's a style of offense that those wide receivers are going to get a lot of experience quickly just because they throw the football all over the doggone place. And I think they've got enough coming back defensively, although, you know, that's not a particularly up along that defensive line. But, you know, Syracuse isn't known for their defense. They're known more about their offense and trying to outscore opponents. And that'll be a very high-scoring offense. So when you have that situation, you win more than your fair share of games.
All right, final question before we let you go. Listen, I would love to know what it actually looks like. I've never laid eyes on it, but this mysterious place we now call the transfer portal. You know, Tabian Feaster announced that his name was in there. Now we're getting into really college football season's begun. Big 12's already having media days. Do we know anything about Tabian Feaster at this point?
Well, I guess I saw yesterday that he said that he's down primarily to two teams, one being South Carolina and the other one being Virginia Tech. I have not talked with him.
Okay.
And again, that's just what I have seen that was reported out there. So he'll graduate here first part of August, and then once he does that, I guess he can make the announcement, I guess, prior to that. But somebody's going to find themselves a pretty good ball player, that's for sure. That the kid can absolutely play. He can do a lot of things for you, you know, special teams-wise. He can come out of the backfield and catch passes for you. Certainly he can run the rock as well. So somebody's going to get themselves a pretty good football player.
All right. And again, you know, we had JKJ on Monday. It was amazing to see this Clemson family step up. He and Jonathan Meeks started that GoFundMe page for Tyshawn Dye's family. And last I checked, it was over $50,000 and the goal was $25,000. That just goes to show you that family atmosphere at Clemson is exactly what it is.
Well, and it goes to show you the love for Tyshawn Dye, as a matter of fact. You know, Tyshawn was one of the most genuine players that I've ever been around, and just one of the most pleasant players that I've ever been around. Always had a smile on his face, always had a great attitude about everything that was thrown at him in life. And, you know, you never want to see a young person, you know, have their life taken from them in such a tragic way. You know, our prayers are certainly with his family as they go through this. There'll be a big weekend. It'll be coming up this weekend where they'll celebrate his life. We'll mourn his loss, but we'll primarily celebrate his life and what he was able to do on this earth while he was here.
Well, you do that and listen. Thank you again. Check in with Mark. It's his first ACC football kickoff next week, and he's going to be thrown into the limelight because you know these people that have covered the SEC. They're used to being in a big auditorium, you know, with like 600 people. It's a little bit more up close and personal, even though it's changed here in the last few years. Don, thanks for all you do. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Go Tigers.
All right, there you go. Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers. So it's open phones when we come back at 844-GSP-ESPN. Jeremy Pruitt gets a minor violation for the University of Tennessee. Absolutely stupid. Not Jeremy Pruitt, the NCAA. Really? These? Well, guess what? This is there's other dumb things that the NCAA's got on people about. So let's talk about some of the stupid things the NCAA can do, because watch out, some school like Charleston Southern's about to pay the price.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So Jeremy Pruitt, he's heading into his second year at the University of Tennessee. But Diesel, the NCAA, is it fair to say there's no consistency whatsoever? That's one thing that I want. It's one thing that I need to work on as a parent, even as a 17-year-old, to be more consistent. You know what I mean? That's what a child really needs. It's consistency. Then they know what is apropos and what is not. But if you're looking for an example of how just flat-out silly the NCAA can be, then look no further at the wrist that was slapped for Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt. Back in March, Jeremy Pruitt sent out a tweet congratulating his high school alma mater, Plainview High School in Rainesville, Alabama, for winning the state title in boys basketball. No big deal, right? Wrong. That's an NCAA violation. According to the Knoxville News Sentinel, Pruitt soon heard from UT's compliance department, letting him know that the tweet was an impermissible endorsement of a high school team and its coach. Again, he is a graduate of said institution. God forbid that you have any pride as a graduate, as an alumnus of said institution, that you have to go be slapped on the wrist and it be written up as an NCAA violation for congratulating the high school in which you attended.
I'm honestly surprised it's not written into their contracts that they have to send any and all social media postings through compliance first.
I mean, wait a second. Let's stop and think about this. What sport does Jeremy Pruitt coach at the University of Tennessee? Football. This was a March tweet to a high school basketball team in which he is an alumnus. You can't make this stuff up. You know what I mean?
Right. Like I said, again, with as much money as these guys are making and with as scrutinized as they are across social media, I can't believe that there is not a person whose job it is to sit and read and critique and fix coaching staff's tweets before they go out.
I mean, is that some kind of app that could be done? Because don't you want to...
No, because it's entirely subjective and you can't teach an app to be subjective. You have to run it through a person that says, this is okay. No, this is not okay. In which case, if it was me, I would say, take 50 grand off of my paycheck and pay somebody else to tweet for me.
Because if you do, enough of these things add up. Remember Phil Fulmer, he had a self-reported violation last year because he provided brief encouragement or instruction to two student athletes for less than 30 seconds in a practice. Yeah, the former head coach at Tennessee, who is now the athletic director, can't tell two of his athletes, hey, man, maybe think about tucking that butt down a little bit. Nope, that's an NCAA violation. And as a result, the SEC had to bar Fulmer from attending practice for 5 days, and Tennessee had to give him a compliance education. I mean, what a blast that course must be. Here is a compliance education. Do not talk to, as an athletic director, because you're a former coach, to a player for less than 30 seconds. But come on, man. We're all human. I guarantee. I mean, listen, I went to that school in that state. I don't want to hear the elephant. I can't tell you where Rainesville, Alabama is off the top of my head. So is an alumnus, Jeremy Pruitt. I'm sure he got caught up in the moment. But the thing is, that moment, you better, like you said, Diesel, stop and send it to somebody to them to go look up on that log. Is this legal or is it not? John wants to get in. John, hope you're having a good afternoon.
I am, sir. You know, you talk about all these ticky-tack violations, and they did nothing to the University of North Carolina about those major things. You know, that's all I got to say, but, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, John, because we mention that all the time. Every time North Carolina gets away with something, there's a Caltech that gets smacked by the NCAA.
North Carolina has better lawyers.
No, North Carolina's has. I'm really surprised. 12 years ago, when I went to my first ACC football kickoff, John Swofford was the commissioner.
Well, we also just had Brant Wilkerson on, and he said North Carolina argued the legal ramifications better.
Yeah.
So the lawyers are the ones who came up with the defense that, hey, we offer this to everybody, so it's not really a violation.
Now, here's the deal. I don't know what it is, and this is a little conspiratorial, if you will, and you will get that way the older you get a little bit more jaded. I promise you, John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, the former North Carolina athletic director, now former North Carolina football player, he's got something on the NCAA, and that's why NCAA has not messed with North Carolina. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I really do believe that he has a little leverage somehow, some way, where, and that's why North Carolina leads the way every year for him to get a new one-year contract extension as commissioner of the ACC. I say that jokingly, but I also mean there's something. Nobody's gotten all that. But, you know, here's Tennessee getting in trouble for Jeremy Pruitt tweeting about his high school his high school basketball team. And when I mean his high school, he went to Rainesville. He grew up in Rainesville, Alabama, and he gets in trouble for it. So that's the NCAA idiocy at its best. But you know what, Diesel? This is, I guess, can you say this about the NCAA? They're consistently inconsistent. Because do you remember what happened during the NCAA tournament here this past year? Which, if you ask me, forget who won the ESPY last night. The ESPY for best team, and with all due respect, and I do mean all due respect, best way I can say it, like Ricky Bobby, I would have voted Virginia team of the year. Because Clemson, 15-0, first time ever in modern football history, that was great. The Women's World Cup team, that was great. But nobody took the stabs that Virginia basketball did in being the first ever number one seed to be knocked out in the first round by a number 16 seed. What did they do? Maybe the ultimate redemption story, if you will. They come back and win this year's national championship. But if you remember, during the tournament, the NCAA had to remember Kyle Guy. He was speaking, and he admitted to reporters that he and his fiance Alex Jenkins were told to make their wedding registry private to avoid potential NCAA rules violations. He mentioned on Twitter, you know, hey, we're getting married, me and my girlfriend, we've dated for so long, blah, blah, blah. And I forget, wasn't it Bed Bath & Beyond that they were registered at? And the NCAA goes, you got to take that down because you may get some free stuff from a Virginia fan that is appreciative. God forbid, just send it to the wedding if you want to. Again, the things we worry about versus what we don't. So when we come back, Diesel, what are some of the other dumb things that schools have gotten in trouble with back in the day? Because the list is amazing, but you can go, if you're in the right place or you're the right school at the right time, you can also buy your way out of this as well. Don't forget, you can hit us up on the text line here in the Health There studio at 71307. You can also get in on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. You can go to our website, Diesel, every day, loading up a new article, thing of that nature. Our website hits have gone through the roof. So go to ESPNUpstate.com. And while you're there, get registered for the locker room. There's some cool content. There's also some free tickets available and things of that nature. Also, you're going to start hearing a lot. We've got a big fall coming up. Of course, we'll be at Carolina Panthers, the opening of Carolina Panthers training camp. I believe that's next Friday, something like that, or also, we got Bourbon and Bacon Fest coming up on September 27th at the Rebel Event Center in downtown Greenville. A whole lot of things. And then Diesel, honestly, my favorite time. I think it's honestly my favorite thing we do all year. Because, you know, you get tired, you know, school's staring you in the face and long, 6-day work weeks for football season. Because, you know, what we do is actually work, people. You know, I do that for free. Yeah, for so long. All right. But we got Radiothon coming up in August, and that's my favorite thing we do. I need that yearly attitude adjustment heading into college football of you think you got it bad? Look at this kid. You know what I mean? Battling for his life with his parents, and they always do it with a smile on the face. So go to ESPNUpstate.com or give us a follow on Twitter and keep up with all of it here as football season and the fall is quickly approaching. You can give up. What's the dumbest thing that you've ever heard from the NCAA? Because you're going to have a hard time topping Pastagate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So again, Jeremy Pruitt is getting a slap on the wrist, the University of Tennessee. Why? Because back in March, his little high school that he went to in Rainesville, Alabama, won a basketball state championship. He tweeted congratulations, and that's a violation of the NCAA rulebook. Tyler wants to get in with this. Tyler, the only thing that I can describe the NCAA is maddeningly inconsistent or consistently inconsistent.
He hit the button on the head there. I thought it was funny. You know, I just wanted to forecast a little bit. Now with the way that the transfer portal is, when does it get to the point to where, you know, when the media is at the end of, you know, post-game or pre-game where they can't even ask coaches about, you know, opposing teams' players now because they're worried about, you know, oh, they said a little too much about, you know, that player, you know. I see that happening and another thing, too. You know, you see it with recruits. They just got their hands dipped in so much now, you know. It's got to be so stressful. You just feel like you got to be tight-lipped as a coach now.
Yeah, not only that, you know, the parents. Is there a way – Tyler, I spent a lot of time with my daughter. It's going to be a senior in high school. But you got to provide a buffer. You know, you can't dump all this on a 16-year-old and decide they're A, going to make the right decision, or B, they even know what their best interest is at this point. So coaches, I think, are wary about this stuff. And, the best thing that the NCAA could ever do for themselves is to pare down their own rule book.
Yeah, and I think from the university standpoint, I think Diesel really hit it. And you would think, you know, this, you know, 2019, every university would have somebody, even not just Twitter, but, you know, watching all social media outlets with coaches and, I mean, anything like that, just trying to find a compliance issue. And side note, guys, I went on my summer vacation, and I just wanted to give you both some props. I try to listen to sports media all the time, and I listen to you guys. I normally sit here like a bobblehead because we have similar takes on things. But, man, it's hard to listen to some other stations. Man, you guys do a great job. I just want to give you some kudos.
Thank you, Tyler. That means more than you'll ever know, especially for Sports Talk's most decent producer. You know what I mean? That's setting the bar rather medium.
Yeah, I set my bar right there in the middle.
But he's absolutely right when it comes to you know, Diesel – I've got a buddy of mine that lives in Atlanta that works for UPS that basically runs his own department. All right. He's a one-man department. And he said that he's got probably the best job security at UPS because what he basically deals with is EPA regulations. You know what I mean? What can be shipped, what can't be shipped, how it has to be shipped. But he's like, the EPA changes their rules every single year. That's my job, is to find out what the new rules are and then educate our company. He goes, the beautiful parts, you're dealing with the government. They change things every single year. He goes, my job will never go away because you have to have one person paying attention. You're right. That might be the way to look at it. But the thing is, you lose the spirit of the moment if you got to send a text. Hey, man, is this okay to go put up on Twitter? You know what I mean? You lose that moment, if you will. But what are some of the other things that is – how about this? Back in 2013, Diesel, talk about NCAA stupidity. The University of Oklahoma self-reported a long list of secondary violations committed by the athletic department over a year-and-a-half-long period. Including in this 18-month period was this shocking confession. Three players ate more pasta than they were allowed. I mean, really, this actually happened. Overeating too much pasta. This was the violation.
This reminds me of the cookie cake incident.
Yeah. Three current student athletes received food in excess of NCAA regulation at a graduation banquet. The three had graduated from school but returned for an additional season of competition. The players were provided pasta in excess of the permissible amount allowed. You really? We got... How many ounces of pasta you can have is in the NCAA rulebook. the resolution, the three were required to donate $3.83 each, the cost of the pasta per serving, to a charity of their choice in order to be reinstated. The department provided rules education to applicable athletic department staff members. Yeah, you mentioned cookie cake. Absolutely. All right. Again, kind of in the same thing that we look at with this stupidity for Jeremy Pruitt getting a slap on the wrist for tweeting congratulations to his own high school for winning a state championship in basketball. Gino Auriemma. Always wonder if he was a Michael Stipe fan. You know what I mean? R-E-M-A. R-E-M. Is it fair to say he is the biggest identity? He is the biggest profile coach in women's basketball? He got in trouble back in the summer of 2014. Do you recognize the name Monet Davis by any chance, Diesel? I know. All right, she was the girl that pitched in the Little League World Series, right? She was a 12-year-old female pitcher in the Little League World Series, and she's from Connecticut. So UConn women's basketball coach Gino Auriemma called the 13-year-old Little Leaguer just to pass along congratulations for what she did, but the NCAA slapped him with a recruiting violation. The bylaw states coaches aren't allowed to call prospects until their junior year of high school, not even to say a quick way to go. 13 years old.
Yeah, you can cheat and let your athletes go to classes, go to fake classes to keep them academically eligible for over 30 years, and that's okay if you got good enough lawyers.
When you're referring to the cookie cake, were you talking about the deal with Clemson having too many desserts a few years ago?
Wasn't there a South Carolina recruiting violation because they put the kid's name on a cookie cake?
Probably. It's like, you know, I wonder now, you know, Jerry Spurrier, one of the things that people fail to realize about her, like once a week, she would have she'd have cupcakes and baked desserts for the players as they're coming off the field, you know, just a little thing. But it's got to be from Jerry Spurrier. It can't be from somebody else, or it would be an extra benefit. So how do you keep up with this stuff? Like I said, you got to pare down the stupidity. It's like, to me, Diesel, with us as as members of the United States, don't make the rule book so thick that you think about it all the time, because guess what? When I think, that's when I'm likely to get in too much trouble. But there's two more that will blow your mind. Blow your freaking mind that were NCAA violations in the past couple of years. Also, when we come back, it's open phones, man. Whatever you want to get into on our way out the door, we'll also give you a little bit of the idea of what we will discuss tomorrow here as well on Straight Up with Sturge. Final segment on the other side. You can't have too much pasta. You can't have too much cookie cake, desserts, or things like that. NCAA rulebook, absolutely crazy. Again, Jeremy Pruitt, head coach at Tennessee, gets a slap on the wrist, a violation from back in March for tweeting congratulations to his high school that he grew up with in Alabama, played for. Tweeted congratulations on winning a state championship in basketball, yet Tennessee football gets a violation for doing it. How about this? How about illegal dunks by North Florida basketball players? By the way, Diesel, I will give you five imaginary dollars I'm holding in my hand right now if you can name me the mascot for the University of North Florida off the top of your head.
Manatees?
That's a good call. But
dolphins?
No, ospreys.
Ospreys, yeah. Okay.
All right. An NCAA rule states that players are not allowed to dunk in the last 20 minutes of pregame warmups before a game starts. The rule is real. It is Section 4, Class B, Article 1E. There's part of the problem, wow. All right? You know, let's repeat that. Section 4, Class B, Article 1E. There's probably
four levels.
There's probably part of your problem right there. It's in the NCAA men's basketball rule book. Back in 2014, North Florida broke the rule, resulting in Tennessee Tech shooting two technical free throws to start the game. And in the end, North Florida lost that game by 2 points.
Is the idea that you're showing off for kids in the stands by dunking?
You know what I think? I think at that point they're just not wanting somebody to come in and potentially bend the rim or break the, you know, glass. We've seen backboard shattered and everything else. But, again, so don't dunk in the last 20 minutes. And then Oklahoma, you know, biggest bunch of cheaters out there, right, Diesel? Oklahoma reporting an assistant coach's accidental butt dial of a recruit that resulted in a player being declared ineligible pending further review. Here is the rule and what happened. Assistant coach Bruce Kittle pocket dialed a recruit a day after receiving a permissible text message from the recruit. The resolution was the football staff was prohibited from initiating phone calls or correspondence with the recruit involved for 4 weeks, and the recruit was declared ineligible for competition at the school, barring NCAA reinstatement. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that it's – I think I'm with you. I think I simply go back to, you know, this rule. Section 4, Class B, Article 1E. I mean, how big is the rule book? Is it like my parents' Encyclopedia Britannica set that we were mentioning yesterday on the air? You know what I mean? So rules were meant to be broken, right?
And how many copies of this thing do they have to send out? Do they send it out as a PDF or do they send them a hard copy? Because, I mean, how much paper is the NCAA wasting if they have to make a copy of this for every single NCAA member institution?
All right. Whether a true story or not, and I tend to believe this is true, somebody put in a Freedom of Information request on a specific name, and the county governor, the registrar said, it's going to be 3 years. What do you mean it's going to be 3 years? Dude, this particular guy had gotten in so much trouble. His file was 13,000 pages long. It was going to take them that long. Do you keep a PDF of that? How in the world would you email a file with 13,000 pages in it? I mean, you'd have to break it down into like 6 or 7 emails, right?
Well, the real question is, what do you have to do to get a file 13,000 pages long?
You have to deal with the old Dixie Mafia back in the day.
You got to double dip on some of these crimes. Double, triple, quadruple dip. You got to get like 5, 6, 10 charges per.
Interesting, no doubt. But no, that was a story. I absolutely couldn't believe it. All right, so what's going on tonight, Diesel? Last night we had the ESPYs. My wife and I were out and about, so I didn't see a moment of it. Cannot tell you a thing that went on. But tonight, again, it's one of those quiet nights. It's the final night of the All-Star break in Major League Baseball before things get underway for the second half tomorrow. Now, stop and think about those standings that we gave you the other day. Every team in the NL Central is within, 4.5 games right now of the leading Chicago Cubs. Milwaukee's right on their tail all the way down to Cincinnati. I think they're now 4.5 games out. But stop and think, that's going to be a battle until the end of the year, and it's probably going to end up being for the benefit of the National League East. Because I can already tell you right now, the National League West – it's the Dodgers. We mentioned, 13.5 games up right now. But if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his butt all the time. But if the season ended today, if the regular season ended today, Atlanta, the Washington Nationals, and the Philadelphia Phillies, all three of those teams from the National League East would be playoff bound. I mean, that's fantastic. And the Braves... think about it. That gives you a little idea. Yes, LA's won 60 games. The Braves have won the second highest amount of games at 54. So that's next level. That is absolutely next level when it comes to the National League East. And that's why the Braves are still going to have to keep looking forward to find a closer. had they not lost the lead due to the bullpen in a bunch of games earlier in the year, they'd be up 8 to 10, maybe even 11 games right now. Pretty much what the LA Dodgers have done. But here we still complain at 54 and 37. They're doing better than we ever did. I even assumed coming out of what was a very surprising run last year to the Major League Baseball playoffs. But again, as we mentioned, heading into the second half, the Braves are up 6 games on the Washington Nationals. They're up 6.5 games on the Philadelphia Phillies. The Cubs, they are half game up in Milwaukee, 2 games up on the Cards, 2.5 games up on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then finally, as we mentioned, the Reds, they're 4.5 games back. So watch that division. 5 teams within 4.5 games of each other. Out west, as we said, the Dodgers are 13.5 games up on the Diamondbacks, but the Diamondbacks are only 0.5 a game out of a playoff spot. And watch what the Giants do. They've got some players. They are 41-48, 17.5 games out. That might be one of the first teams to get into fire sale mode, and they've got a couple of arms that I'd take a long look at. Over in the American League, the New York Yankees have 6.5 game lead on the Tampa Bay / Montreal Rays. Yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Red Sox are 9 games out here at the All-Star break. The Jays and the Orioles. The Jays are 24.5 games out. The Orioles 30.5 games out at the All-Star break. That's a dadgum shame. That should be a much prouder franchise. The Baltimore Orioles should be a much prouder franchise than 27 wins, 62 losses. Minnesota, they have watched a 8.5 game lead shrink down to 5.5 games over Cleveland. Everybody else pretty much out of the mix. The White Sox are 12.5 back, and then it's 27 games back. Think about it, Diesel. Remember how happy Hendricks was, 4 or 5 years ago when Kansas City was in the postseason? I think they actually won a World Series. Kansas City now 27 games back at the All-Star break behind the Minnesota Twins. Then finally out west, the Astros 7.5 games up on the A's, 9 games up on the Texas Rangers.
You know, maybe it's just because of my App State education.
Brilliant.
But I've never understood the half game back thing. What does that mean?
That means somebody's played one less game or one more game. So you when both are playing, you can make up a game, you could lose a game, or you stay even. But if somebody doesn't play and somebody wins, they make up a half game.
You lost me at the if-then scenario. If this happens, then this happens. If that happens, then this happens. I just come on, baseball.
No, what it is
maybe that's something that Major League Baseball could amend to make their standings a little more understandable to the average viewer.
Well, it's just like you get into various times of the year of a football season that one team's played 10 games, another team's played 9. Why? Because of the way.
But they don't. But you don't say that a football. They're not ranked based on their wins and losses in college football. Not really. They're based on the opinion of the committee.
But it matters with, like, say, the Atlantic Division. Clemson has, say, they're 5-0. In their division, and Syracuse is 4-3-1, then Clemson's got a 1.5 game lead in which to play with. But I get where you're going on it. It does.
I'm just saying that's a little thing that they could do to make baseball a little more accessible to the average fan. When baseball at this point, when they're talking about putting robots out there to call pitches and strikes. And there's a simple solution out here to say, hey, why don't we make it a little easier to understand, you know, exactly how far ahead somebody is?
I guess I just thought of a flashback to an old Saturday Night Live skit from the late 70s. This sketch brought to you by the hearing impaired, and there was the original black member of the comedy troupe. He's in the corner box yelling out everything that the in today's news. That was their way of helping out the hearing impaired. So
true, and maybe it's just that I'm stupid. So I just
No. Listen, you know why I ended up at Bama and you ended up at App State? We couldn't get to B without getting tired of looking at it. Yeah, I just did the Rolodex. Anyway, tomorrow we'll have some interesting conversation, including local county here in the Upstate. They are changing their way they do football. It is flag until they get to junior high. Do you like it? We'll get your opinions tomorrow. Have a blessed evening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.